The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
In the modern times, we have this notion that's been understood of plurality. Now, plurality is not always a bad thing. It's a term that can be used in so many different ways. Some uses of it are very genuine and very appropriate. For example, we live in societies where people come from many different backgrounds, many different faith backgrounds, and we're in the same space, we're sharing the same space, we're living in the same society. And in that sense, for somebody to have a pluralistic outlook, I'm using these terms deliberately because we need to understand that sometimes they're used in different ways. For somebody to have a pluralistic outlook where they see themselves as a member of a diverse society is something which is positive. However, pluralism itself at times can be something which is exactly the opposite of ideology. Ideology is where we understand truth and we understand the application of truth because of there being an absolute standard. Sometimes pluralism can run contrary to that. And so in order to explain this, I want to give an example. Yesterday, I quoted to you the ayah of the Quran from Surah Luqman, where Allah describes himself as being al-haq, being the truth. Now, if you want to make a picture of this, imagine that we have somebody who is thirsty. And that somebody who's thirsty is searching for some water to drink. There are some who say that truth itself is relative. There is no absolute standard for truth. Anybody who thinks that they have access to the truth, they are like somebody who's thirsty. They think that there's a lake somewhere out there, and they think that there's a way to get to that lake. But in reality, what's out there is not a lake, it's a mirage. There is no such thing like a lake. The only thing we can tell you is that there are no lakes. All the lakes are mirages. That is the example of absolute relativity, relativity of truth. And that is a type of thought. If you go to the universities, if you go to humanities, right? It is, or if you go to architecture, it's quite amazing. Sometimes you see structures being put up that reflect this type of thought pattern. Thoughts and ideologies can actually have a huge impact on the way a society is formed, including construction. I'll just make a side point here. Traditionally, the construction of Islamic centers and mosques was done in a way where it blended humbly into the surrounding environment. Even the roofs, if you go and study, they were made in a way that they wouldn't protrude boldly into the sky. They would fade in. Why? Because everything has a position in front of God, including the buildings that we build. But postmodern architecture is something which is completely different. You go and it's just, I don't know what word you say about it, maybe you say bizarre, right? There's no rhyme or reason to why they do what they do. So this is one ideology, the relativity of truth. Now here, as I said, you might think that you have access to the truth, but whether you're a Jew or a Christian or a Buddhist or you have belief in a naturalist or a pagan religion, all of that is just a mirage, right? You can go chasing it in your life if you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to realize that all your efforts were futile. Now you can imagine what the implications of this ideology are. And sometimes we see that, unfortunately, even among our youth, which is that when I'm taught, when there's an entire education system that's predicated on this, then I end up starting to believe that everything, all efforts are absolutely futile. It's just I'm chasing a mirage. Well, what's the point of living then? Right? I don't have anything to work towards. Right? This is something which is quite dangerous. There's another level of pluralism which is called not the relativity of truth, it's called the relativity of knowledge. Now, this is a little bit better, a little bit more acceptable to us, but not completely, because there's something that's also dangerous about this. Right? And of course, I'm working my way towards the Islamic understanding, and then I'm going to talk about the practical implications. The understanding of relativity of knowledge is what? That you think that you have access to the truth. You actually do have a right to say that there is truth out there. What you imagine to be truth is actually water. But in reality, there is no way for you to get to that water. So whether you're a Muslim or whether you are, again, Christian, Jew, whatever it is, right? There is an absolute truth out there. But that absolute truth is so great and so vast and so mysterious, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to get there. It's not a mirage, but it's just a lake that you can't access. So what happens now? The net effect is that it's the same thing. Because all the efforts that you put in, it's going to be futile. Just don't try. All right? That, of course, is something which is not acceptable to the people of faith. What is the third level of pluralism? And this is very important. The third level is something which is called the relativity of understanding. Now, what is this analogy? This analogy is one where I believe that there is truth out there. That truth is like a water, like lake. There is a lake out there. You can access that lake. You can get there. You can reach there. You can reach there through the path of Islam, and you might be able to reach there through other paths as well. However, there's an important caveat. Once you get there, how much of that water you're going to be able to take depends on a few factors. Number one is how much thirst you have. Right? People who aren't thirsty, when they get to that water, they're not going to be able to take from it. Right? I'm thirsty, I'm full, I can't drink any more water. Secondly, is what is your container by which you're going to be able to take this water? How much are you going to be able to take? Because let's say you get to water, the water, and you have a tiny water bottle. And that water bottle itself has a hole in it. Well, whatever you're going to be able to get in that water bottle, it's going to be very limited. It's not denying. It's not saying that it's not saying that you have no access to the truth. It's questioning you and saying that how are you going to be able to position yourself to be able to get to the most water possible? How can you position yourself so that you're as thirsty as possible? So then when you get to that water, you're going to have some relief. So do you see here, brothers and sisters, with this analogy, it can help us to understand what our position should be in the society that we're in. Some will say that just take a position of neutrality, right? Just take the position that, look at different strokes for different folks, right? Your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, and that's the way things are going to be. We live in a post-truth world. Sometimes you hear this expression. There's no point in trying to find the truth anymore. It's too difficult. It's too hard. We can put those aside and we can say that we have a more sophisticated understanding. We know, all of us, those who are sincere in their faith, they might have some way of accessing that truth. It's possible. They're making their way toward that lake. Sometimes they might go this way or that way, but eventually they might get there. But what can we do to equip them so that when they get there, they have the best tools to access it?
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Ali. Hakim Mati وصلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.